Lord God, we come to you this morning in prayer seeking your overwhelming presence. The joy that we can have from the knowledge that your Spirit's overwhelming presence does not remove our free will, but capacitates it. For you did not give us a spirit of timidity or of weakness, but of power, of love, and of self-control. Lord, for so many people, we strive to hold on so that we can be in control. And the ironic truth is only by bending knee to you and accepting your lordship of our lives do you give us the gift of self-control. So many people who are trying to live life their own way are spinning out of control. Lord, I pray that you would overwhelm us with this spirit of power and love and self-control. That we would be people that are good representatives of your Son, Jesus Christ. That as we walk in the world, people would see you in us. Because of the way we live, that they would want you as part of their lives as well. I pray, that, Lord, that you would give us this perspective, this gift of joy today. That we could not experience a 24-hour period without being joyful. That you would be our constancy, our rock, our source of happiness, our blessedness. That we would exude joy on everyone around us. That when we light a candle that is our lives, that others seeing us burn would want to be more like us because what they see in us is your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would give us the fruit of your Spirit's presence, love and joy and peace and patience, etc., and so on. Lord, that we would bear that fruit to your glory and to your kingdom's growth. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal to us today your will through your word, but that would not be enough, but that having discovered your will for our lives, that your Spirit would give us the power, the love, and the self-control necessary to become obedient to it. That we would surrender ourselves to you. That we would crucify a spirit of complaining, a spirit of whining, a spirit of mourning and bitterness and wailing. That we would allow those things to die, never to be revived. But rather that we would be people of joy, not idiots that look forward to pain, but blessed saints that see your hand in the midst of the trials of life. Make us a joyful people, we pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Grab your Bible. If you forgot to bring your Bible with you today, then grab a pew Bible if there's one in front of you. Or, if you don't have a Bible, grab the pew Bible that's in front of you or the one nearest to you. Stick your name in it and take it home. It's yours. I've got 10 openings now. It was 6 just a couple of weeks ago, so I'm going to definitely have to order some new Bibles for the pews. But we want you to take them if you don't have one. If you do have one, I've mentioned this before, but if you do have a Bible, and it's the one you read, I ask that you would bring it with you so that you can make the notations the Spirit lays upon your heart. I learned my very first year of preaching that what I say seems to be used, not because it's me, but God seems to use what the preacher says to preach a different message to every single person. I can't tell you the number of times people come up to me and say, "Thank you for preaching, fill in the blank," and I didn't say that. But God was working on them, and so I asked that you would bring your Bible so that when the Spirit is speaking to you, you could make notation of that and be reminded of that as years go by and as you revisit that passage as you do your devotional reading. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 2. This should not be a shock to you given the time of year we are in. Luke 2 becomes, in many ways, the passage of Advent. We are going to be simply reading verses 8 through 12. And we're going to be talking a lot about, as you can imagine, joy. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Imagine a dark night with no street lights, no city lights. This is not outside of Jerusalem. This is Bethlehem, which Cuba makes look puny. Bethlehem, people of about 200, 250 people. Small little village, no electricity. In the middle of the night, the shepherds hear an occasional bleating of a sheep. And then the angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You cannot overestimate that. They were scared to death. It was a good thing they wore dresses so they wouldn't have to change their breeches. They didn't really wear dresses, they were robes, but you know what I mean. I can't begin to fathom what that must have been like. I have been in the wilderness after dark, and you do this and you can't see it. I don't know if you've had that experience or not, but if you've had that experience, you know what the shepherds were experiencing. All of a sudden, like deer in headlights, they're blinded by the glory of the Lord shining around an angel of the Lord. And then it gets worse. Well, better. Worse. It gets different. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Your world just changed. And you know how much people love change. And then a whole host of angels appear with them, and after their eyes have adjusted somewhat, I'd imagine there's a lot of this going on. They then do something about this great good news. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for the smell of a young puppy. I thank you for the way a little kitten bats a ball of yarn around. I thank you for the unadulterated laughter of a young child. I thank you for that first sip of coffee in the morning. I thank you for joy. And I thank you for the process. Joy. Help us today, Lord, to grasp a bit more of the process of enjoying life. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Louis, could you grab the lights for me, please? Bex has a YouTube video all about joy for your pleasure.
You can push.
Down here, bottom, Megan.
Come on.
I can't.
Push. Megan, you're doing it.
I can't. It hurts so bad. No, I can't. Maggie, push.
Push. I can't.
Push. Push. He wants to come out, Maggie.
I can't do it.
Is that a head right there?
Yep.
Baby, I see his head. You can push him out.
Yeah.
Push him out.
That's like this baby pushes his head. Oh. Hey, Megan, your contraction's over, but the baby's head's low.
He's right there. Did you see it?
Megan. It hurts. Look at me, Megan. The end hurts, but the end is very, very quick. All you need to do is push through the pain with a couple of good pushes, and it's all over. Okay?
See his head?
Yeah.
See his head and
his hair?
Yeah. Like blonde hair. I'd like his daddy.
Okay, you have to push all your life now. Get ready.
You ready?
Yeah. Take a deep breath. And push.
Excellent.
Oh, he's coming out. Come on, push. Push.
Excellent, Megan. Good job.
You have a little oil.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
I can't.
You can do it, baby.
Push.
Stop pushing, Megan. I'm not trying to. Oh my god, I can't. 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 Oh my god, I can't.
the face of joy. I don't know if you ever thought about it that way before or not, but Mary gets visited and an angel says, "You're going to give birth." Have you ever noticed when a young couple is trying to get pregnant and they finally find out that they're going to have a baby? And this is the first point of joy. Excitement. Right? They're excited. They're very excited about this. We're going to have a baby! And they're all excited. They're very much happy about this. They've been wanting a child. Now, I probably just reduced the future population of North Park Wesleyan Church a little bit by showing that without epidural. You know. But the reality is that they're very excited about something, and we get excited about stuff when we start it. When we're at the beginning, when we're just getting going into something, it's very exciting. That's what gets us over that first hump. That's what gets us in, over the inertia of doing something new. This is not just true of the pregnancy aspect of life. This is not just true of having a kid. This is true of life in every single aspect and category of it. There is the newness of something that is very exciting. I bring you good news of great joy. News isn't news if it's old. That's why it's called news. In our lives, when we start something, we tend to have a high level of excitement. We can see envisioned the end result. We're pointing all our energies and all of our efforts towards that end result. And the image of that is keeping us going. It's getting us started. And we're wonderfully excited about this. This is in many ways a new believer who comes to faith. That's that first love that the Bible talks about. That new excitement, that newness that's just fantastic. And you wish you could bottle it and keep it. But you can't. Excitement doesn't last. It's not meant to. It's not supposed to. Just ask a married couple who've been together for 40 years. There is a deep, abiding joy and peace. But it's not the same excitement it was when you were first dating and he was getting ready to come over to the house to pick you up. And you're worried about what you're going to wear, and you're checking the outfits, and the makeup is going on, and you know this. After 6 months of marriage, he's coming home. You don't have to change clothes at all, right? What? I'm in my fuzzy jammies. They're comfortable. I wasn't excited about you coming in the door. I expected you to come in the door. This is your home. You see me every day. I'm not getting dressed up for you again. Excitement is at the beginning. It's a hook. And it gets us every time. And it should. Because like I said earlier, human beings hate change. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Unless it's their idea. And then it's wonderful and everybody should be on board with it. We all hate change. And excitement helps us to get over that initial resistance to doing something that is newsworthy. Something that is new. It's that first day of school when you get to wear your new clothes. Are you excited about putting those clothes on 6 months later? No. Why not? Because they're old clothes. They're not new clothes. It's true of all of life. It's also true of ministry. When you first get involved in something, you're excited about, you're envisioning that end result picture. You're envisioning kids or teens or elderly or whoever getting ministered to, coming to Christ, growing in Christ, being so happy you're part of their life. You know, and that's what you envision. You're excited about it. You start the learning process that's involved in beginning a new ministry, and you're excited about it, and you're trying to get ready for everything. And then it becomes old hat. It's no longer good news. It's old hat. And this gets us to the second point of today's message, which is commitment. You go from excitement to commitment. This is when the puppy dog no longer smells like a little puppy dog. He, in fact, was rolling in some random dead animal he found in the woods. And you have to bathe him for the third time that week to be able to endure his presence. This is the little baby that grows up and has gone through that laughter phase where it's so adorable and just melts your heart hearing them laugh. to when they're playing video games in the basement at 2 in the morning and you have to run down there to tell them that it's 2 in the morning they should be in bed. It's commitment. This is the same thing true with ministry, whatever the ministry you're involved in. Wild Wednesday happens most Wednesdays during the school year, and it is just that. It is Wild Wednesday. There are 94 kids that come sit in these pews. We have to take 2 school buses to fill them, to fit them, to bring them here. And it requires a minimum of 4 adults, 2 on each bus, just to be able to keep the lid somewhat simmering. We get them here and they go nuts. They go nuts. And we have to corral them. And so we have, I think, 12 different teams with an adult leader over each one. And we're trying to take attendance. We're trying to see if they have the memory verse. Did you wear your Wild Wednesday bracelet? Did you bring your Bible? Did you do your special assignment? And then we got to keep them quiet and excited and involved all at the same time, the whole time they're here, which is the fastest 45 minutes of the week. It's amazing how fast it goes. And at the end of it, the church sanctuary is a mess, and they're all running pell-mell out and back into the buses, and you just hope you didn't leave a kid. This is the commitment phase of life. This is when you've been married for 7 years and the itch comes. Why do you think it's after 7 years that they call that the 7-year itch, by the way? The 7-year itch comes because, you don't look so good anymore, honey. You used to have a 6-pack. Now you got a keg. I'm no longer excited about you walking into the house or showing up anywhere. I just kind of take you for granted. The fact that you love me and chose to spend your life with me, I'm kind of over that. That kind of went from a really great news kind of moment to a, oh, you're the face till I die, huh? Nice. It's commitment. This is the pregnancy. When you've gotten past that first stage of bliss, and now you have morning sickness. Every morning. And sometimes into the afternoon. And every once in a while, evening's not so good either. And then the glorious moment when they start to kick. Oh, I felt it flattered. It gets bigger. And your bladder becomes its punching bag. And you suddenly, urgently have to pee. With very little notice. Oh, and by the way, after you've had a couple kids, that pee thing doesn't get much better. I once asked my wife why she did a certain style of aerobics, and she said, because it doesn't have much jumping. If you've had kids, you know what she's talking about. Commitment is the part that most people don't want to think about. And yet it's the commitment that gives birth to joy. In your life, When you hit that wall and it's no longer the exciting new thing, it's kind of the old hat boring thing, and you're kind of beginning to think, maybe I should try another new thing. Realize this is the stage where you need to really put all your effort and energy to it. You need to recommit yourself. You need to be committed. I just realized that could be taken 2 different ways. You need to be committed. You need to be committed to this situation, this relationship, this ministry, because it's only through the commitment that joy gets to come. It's only through the 9 months of arduous pregnancy that then you get to endure the labor. But it's only after the labor that you get to hold the baby. And then enjoy commitment for the rest of your life to raising said child. But now think about the time your kid hit that first base run ball and got on first base. Think about that time when your kid brings home a report card that was better than all the others have been. Think about that time when, without being asked, your child opens the door and holds it for an elderly person coming into the store. Think about that joy when, when your child gets their first job and they show up early and they work hard and you hear compliments from others about how well behaved, how well mannered your child is. You can never, ever have meaningful joy without commitment. You could come up here, if you have a child, you could come up here and share your most joy-filled moment of your child, and everybody go, oh, that was nice. Not my kid. I got no skin in that game. Right? I mean, we're all polite about it. We're all happy for you. That's nice. And meanwhile, you're thinking about the commitment stage on your kid. But the reality is that you don't have their joy. You can't have their joy. You'll never have their joy with their child. Because their accomplishments, their children's accomplishments won't mean diddly squat to you because you don't have skin in the game. You don't have any commitment to it. You haven't been involved. You haven't been the one that's brought it about. You didn't give birth to that. It's not yours. It's not your joy. The same thing is true of life in general. When you do the commitment part, you get the joy part. You get that. But it doesn't come until after the excitement and through the commitment. You want to experience joy in your life? Then buckle up, buddy. There's going to be a commitment involvement in that. But then you get that true joy. In many ways, the one phrase that we should all be living our lives for is this phrase, well done, my good and faithful servant. Can you imagine the joy of the Heavenly Father at the end of times when he's welcoming his billions of children home saying, well done? Man, you did me proud. We get a little precursor of that, a little view into the heavenly realms, if you will, with Job. And he's just bragging on his boy Job. He says, hey, Satan, check out Job in your face. That man's righteous. He's doing the right stuff. I am so proud of my son. We see it again when he rips open the heavens, as the Greek says that he rolls back the heavens. And he descends in the form of a dove onto Jesus. Before he begins his ministry, when he's getting baptized by John, and the Heavenly Father says, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Joy. Man, it's worth the commitment. You got to go through the excitement, you got to go through the commitment, and then you get to the enjoyment. Then you get to the enjoyment. Ice cream, sure. Makes you happy for a moment and unhappy the rest of your life. I once was told that you can either waste the food or it can live on your waste. Well, that's just kind of the way that goes. True joy comes after excitement, through commitment. This past week has been the best week in North Park's history. And you'll experience this vicariously in just a few moments when I share with you the news. But I hope what you hear, if you're not involved in these specific ministries, you'll hear that you're missing out on the joy. This week, we have had 27 salvations, 5 decisions for baptism, and 6 new members. You know that that is good news, right? You know that's good news. And you experience this momentary kind of feeling of, hey, they're doing good stuff. But if you weren't in those ministries, you don't know the joy. You see, Charles Witt, ask him about his teaching, his lesson at Ignite. It led to 4 teens committing to get baptized. Ask Charles Witt how that feels. You want to know joy? You got to earn it. See, as long as you experience the statements of success of the kingdom vicariously through other people, you'll be looking at it and go, hey, that's good stuff. All right, good for them. Yeah, You'll even be proud of the church you call home. You'll say, wow, our church is really doing some great stuff. But you'll be like going to a friend's kid's graduation. You didn't give birth to that. You don't have any skin in the game. We had 26 salvations from Wild Wednesday this past week. Had one in my office. It was fantastic. I mean, it makes your week. It really does. That same individual is committed to baptize. That's the fifth one. I already mentioned the four, and we got six new members. Four will be being received in the 11 a.m. service. Two are getting ready to be received here in this service. You'll get to know their faces and their names a little bit. And if you know them, you'll experience more joy than you already did because you know the people. And if they're friends of yours, you're going to actually experience a little bit of the joy. But unless you have been involved, unless you have done the hard work, unless you've been committed to the ministry, unless you've actually gone through those weeks when you feel like, man, I just want an evening at home. And then you stay committed and you show up to the ministry and you put in your time and you put in the skin in the game. That's the only way you get the joy. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I got the joy, 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 joy. Where? To stay, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Now, some of you felt very uncomfortable because suddenly it got happy clappy, and you're like, ah. What are these people doing? Is this some cult thing? I don't know what else to tell you, but get in the game. Because you don't want to experience life vicariously. You can't do everything, and many of you are already involved in ministries, and that is fantastic. You should have a ministry, but if you're not involved in anything, you're never going to get joy. You're just going to be that person sitting in the pew thinking, they look kind of weird singing that song. What's wrong with them? This is just church. Calm it down, folks. That's going to be your internal response to those kind of moments. You're going to be like, eh, what's the big deal? Or like I've seen on Facebook, the M-E-H. How's that pronounced? Meh. Meh. That kind of is an onomatopoeia, isn't it? It kind of sounds like what it means. Meh. Kind of sounds like a deer bleeding. Meh. Anyway, I want to share with you briefly the joy that is involved in doing many different kinds of things. I already shared with you spiritual fruit. This past weekend, and many, I've got a lot of questions about this, so I just feel like I need to share. But we had a couple people in the church that knew that there was a desire to update the front of the sanctuary a bit. And we had some people that gave above and beyond their regular giving, and some people that came and made it happen, and they put the rock wall up and LED lights behind the cross. It looks fantastic. That was above and beyond their regular giving. Today we get a chance to be involved a little bit in ministry. Not all of us are going to go to church. Not all of us are going to be for the kingdom, getting to subvert a whole culture. They get to do that. They're going to have the excitement that's involved with something new. They're going to get the commitment that comes halfway through. And then they're going to get the joy of the new converts coming over. And then the people that are led to the Lord by the doctors, they led to the Lord. They're going to get that joy. And we can have just a small piece of it. Today, I want to encourage you to do so. If you feel led to give above and beyond your regular giving, we actually have a basket out in the foyer for them. So anything you put in that basket, it's a love offering. You can stick it in there and it'll go directly to the ministry as they're preparing to go subvert a culture of atheism and turn it into a culture that recognizes and enjoys the beauty of creation. They're going to get to do that. You get to be involved in ministry here in various different ways. Some people are front people. Some people are behind the scenes people. Some people are good with hands-on stuff. Some people can't put together a toy with directions, even though the directions aren't done very well, I guess. There's some excuse there. whoever you are, whatever your giftings are, get in the game. Get involved. If you want some skin in the game, if you want to experience some of this joy of the people that are actually involved, then I'm going to invite you in a little bit to just, next to your name in the Fred book, which is that black book we'll pass in a little bit, just write down skin. I'll know what it means. Just write down skin. You don't scrape off any of yours onto it. It won't stick. But just write skin next to your name and some way that I can contact you and we'll help you get into the game. Because you want to experience the true joy of new birth, new believers, baptisms, all that wonderful stuff. Instead of just going, meh. Somebody else is doing something else. Because if that's your experience of church, you're going to think church is boring. Because it is. Because you're just on the outside like Irving Berlin looking in, a little Jewish boy wishing he could have Christmas. And so he says, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Are you on the outside looking in? Or do you have the joy, 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 joy down in your heart? Lord God, I pray that you would help us this day to get excited about the end result that will come. The new birth, the baptism, the memberships. Help us to be committed in the midst of the long haul that is anything worth doing. And then, Lord, help us to experience the joy of being involved firsthand in growing your kingdom. I pray that you would do these things and that they would be wondrous in our sight. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to give to God his tithes and his offerings. If you could take the Fred book, fill those out, pass them to the middle and then back to the outside. I would be very, very grateful. Don't forget to write skin next to your name if you want to get in the game, so to speak. After the offering is taken, don't get ready to bolt because we're going to be welcoming two new members into reception. And then we've got our social Sunday snacks outside in the foyer afterwards, as well as you'll want to visit the Caringles table. So there's plenty to do. Just get ready to linger a little bit longer. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your family to us, that we don't have to be lonely in this life. We get to live life together with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to experience the joy of building your kingdom. I ask these things in your name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I've got it all, but I feel so deprived. I go up, I come down. This thing that I feel like I'm missing, and why can't I let it go? There's gonna be more to life than chasing that every temporary high to satisfy me. Cause the more that I'm tripping out thinking there must be more to life, well, there's a life, but I'm sure the time, and I'm wasting it slowly here in this moment. I'm halfway out the door, on to the next thing. I'm searching for something that's missing. All right, we're getting ready to bring forward a couple of people, a couple of men actually, that have gone through a rather lengthy process. And any of you who have joined and are members know what I'm talking about. And this is the very last step of the process. They've had to meet with the board. They've had to meet with me. They've had to go through classes. They've had to be baptized. They've had to be saved. And so all of those things have already occurred. Now they get to come before you and be received into the visible fellowship of the church, this local church, North Park Wesleyan Church. So I'm going to ask Jason and Brian, if you go ahead and come on forward at this time. Everybody give them a big, hearty round of applause. So I got some words. I've got to, this is going to be weird for me looking back and forth. Here, I'll get on one side. There we go. I am required to read quite a lengthy thing here, and then we'll get into the stuff that is, well, it's all important, but it gets a bit wordy, so just hang on. The first part takes a while. It says, "Dear friends, the privileges and blessings which we have within the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ are very sacred and precious. Christ so loved the church that he gave himself for her, sanctifying himself that the church might be made holy. He chose to speak of himself as the head of the church and of the church as his body. And again, he spoke of himself as the husband and of the church as his bride." So all that's just basically saying the church is amazingly important to Christ. And so he uses important metaphors, head, body, bride, and husband, all those sorts of things. "Christ gave himself unselfishly, and he asked the church to share its glorious relationship with all humanity, sending it into the world to preach the scriptures, to save the lost, to administer the sacraments, to maintain Christian fellowship and discipline, and to build up the believer until Christ comes again. All of us, whatever our age or position, stand in need of Christ's church and of those means of grace which it alone makes available." You can't go anywhere other than the church to get baptism. You can't go anywhere other than the church to get communion. You can't go anywhere other than the church to be part of the church. "It's in keeping with Christ's commission to the church that we meet together now. There are some among us who have testified to having been received already into the spiritual fellowship of the universal church and who desire to be received in the official and visible fellowship of this local unit of the body of Christ. These persons standing before you come to enter into covenant as members of the Wesleyan Church with all the accompanying rights, privileges, and responsibilities. They testify to having been born again. They've received the sacrament of baptism, have been instructed in, and have accepted the doctrines and polity of the Wesleyan Church and have been approved by vote as manifesting in spirit and practice God's work of grace within their hearts. We now propose, in the fear of God, to question these persons as to their experience, faith, and purpose, that you may know that they are proper persons to be admitted into this church." I always laugh at that phrase. I always think of somebody drinking tea with their pinky up. So proper. It just means that they're actually believers in Christ and have been baptized. So, now I get to actually talk to you. "Dear friends, you've come seeking union with the Church of Jesus Christ. We do rejoice that you have chosen to undertake the privileges and the responsibilities of membership in the Wesleyan Church. Before you are fully admitted thereto, you should here publicly and individually make your vows, confess your faith, and declare your purpose by answering the following questions." This first one is like the Nicene Creed. It's long, but it's the basic tenets or theology of all of Christianity. So I'll read through a large chunk, and then I'll prompt you when the responses do. It says, "Do you believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ the Son suffered in your place on the cross, that he died but rose again, that he now sits at the Father's right hand until he returns to judge all people at the last day? And do you believe in the Holy Scriptures as the inspired Word of God, that by the grace of God, every person has the ability and responsibility to choose between right and wrong, and that those who repent of their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are justified by faith? And do you believe that God not only counts believers as righteous, but that he makes them righteous, perfecting them in love at entire sanctification, and providing for their growth in grace at every stage of their spiritual life, enabling them through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to live a victorious life? If so, respond, 'This I believe.'"
This I believe.
Well done. You're watching for lips, right? Okay, good. This one's just one sentence. "Do you have the witness of the Spirit that you are a child of God? If so, answer, 'I do.'"
"I do."
"Is it your commitment to pursue holiness in all things? If so, answer, 'It is.'"
"It is."
"Do you cordially accept and agree to abide by our articles of religion and elementary principles as biblical guidelines for your conduct? And do you accept the authority of the Wesleyan Church in matters of church government? If so, answer, 'I do.'" "Do you commit to live out the mission and vision of the Wesleyan Church through a discipling relationship within the local church? If so, answer, 'I do.'"
"I do."
Very good. Now this one's a little bit longer. It says, "By coming before us today, you indicate your purpose to publicly confess the Lord Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be your God and the object of your highest love. You accept the Lord Jesus to be your Redeemer and the Holy Spirit to be your Sanctifier, Comforter, and Guide. You joyfully dedicate yourselves to God that within the everlasting covenant of His grace you might be used in His service to glorify and honor Him. And you promise to hold to Him as the highest good of your lives, that you will give diligent attention to the commandments and principles of His Word, that you will seek the honor and advancement of His kingdom, and that forsaking all ungodliness and worldly desires, you will live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. You do also purpose to join yourselves to this church, submitting yourselves to its principles of government, and by walking in love and fellowship with all its members, seek its peace, purity, and growth in grace. Do you freely and sincerely devote yourselves to be the Lord's within the fellowship of this church? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Amen. There are those who have found... Oh, wait, sorry, I'm done. That's the next section. Now, these two, we've actually baptized ourselves. Megan got to baptize Brian. I got to baptize Jason. You've heard their testimonies before already. However, this part is only half of the equation. There is this part as well. We believe that God doesn't make mistakes and that he has called these people here because they need this body of Christ and this body of Christ needs them. That God does not misappropriate the parts of the body, and that Brian and Jason are integral and essential to our life here together. If you are willing to receive from them encouragement, chastisement if necessary, fellowship, and walk together with them throughout their lives, as long as both parties are living here, then I need to hear from the church that you are willing to receive these two as members of our body. If so, with hearty voice, say, we do.
We do.
That was hearty. Amen. Stand up. We're going to pray for these two, and then you're going to delay their getting to the snacks by welcoming them with what we call the right hand of fellowship. And anybody that greets them first, you get first dibs on the snackage outside in the foyer. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for Jason, and I thank you for Brian, and I thank you, Lord God, that you have called them to yourself, that you have created them uniquely, that you have placed them uniquely, and that you have a unique purpose for their lives, that you have gone ahead of them and have prepared good deeds for them to do, that if they don't do them, they will go undone. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would convict them when they fall down and comfort them so they can stand back up. I pray that you would challenge them to constant growth and challenge them to challenge us. Lord, I pray that they would be able to call us on the carpet when we're not living up to our commitments as well. I pray, Lord, for the many people that these two men of God will lead into faith throughout their lives. And I pray that the world would never be the same because these two warriors for Christ are joining the battle. I pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Now, if you want to be blessed by the benediction that God loves you and he's going to bless you, then you need to come welcome these two. You're dismissed. Go and be the church.